realfaith.org.au.
The first contact I get from Minna, she sent me a message saying, you know, basically, you don't know what you're talking about, you know, and in a polite southern way, and I wrote back, I said, you know, well, thanks for writing, you know, you're entitled to your wrong opinion, have a nice life. Then she wrote back and said, oh, can we keep emailing? And I'm thinking, what for? I haven't got a persecution complex.
Welcome to Real Faith, conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through, helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's Real People, Real Life and Real Faith with Eric Scatterbo.
Tony is from Brisbane and Minna is from South Carolina. How did they meet and marry and what are they passionate about going forward? We'll find out their story today. Welcome to the program, Tony and Minna.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you for having us.
Glad to have you with us. And let's go right back to the beginning. Before you even met, where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in Sydney. And my dad was a truck driver. He was a transport sergeant in the army before that. I got married at 22, moved to Melbourne for 17 years, and then eventually moved north after I left the police force down there. I moved back up north to Brisbane. But I always barracked for Queensland, even when I was living in Sydney.
So you were a Queenslander at heart?
Yeah, I bleed Maroon.
Okay, and how about your faith journey? When did you become a Christian?
Well, I became a Christian when I was 16, but I got to be honest, I've had more starts than the gates at Flemington. And, there came a time some years back, that where I just had to get serious. And I just really, God got a hold of me, and I just went on from there. And I had one part there when I was, after the divorce, I was looking for love in all the wrong places. And, I guess that created a bit of regret, and I wish if I had time to undo it, I would, but I can't. So it's one of those things. But, you know, when I met Minna, I was a bag of bones, quite frankly, and she helped
put it back
together.
Okay, we're going to stop you there because we want to find out Minna's background in the United States, in the South.
Yes, sir, as I have said many times.
now, let's just, this whole thing about saying sir, that's a Southern thing, right?
Yes, it is.
I'm just not used to being called sir here.
I know, and a lot of people that I've met here in Australia are not used to be called sir and ma'am, and they look at me. But that's just a cultural thing. Like you said, it's a matter of respect. And see,
respect, but I am younger.
I grew up in Alabama.
But you just do it, yeah.
But my adult life was in South Carolina. That's where my family is now. My son is there. My two granddaughters are there. And I became a Christian at the end, actually, of my first marriage. It was in Mother's Day, 1980. So I've been a Christian for 38 years this year. And the training time that I had during the period before I met Tony was just so crucial. You know, you put your foot in the water and you think, I'm going to do great things for God, but then how are you training yourself to do those great things? So I'm thankful for the people who mentored me and discipled me and for those training years.
So both of you are on different sides of the planet. Unfortunately, as you shared, you both were previously married, but were growing in your faith afterwards, a little bit older and wiser now. I want to know, how did the two of you meet? How did you get together eventually?
Well, I was always told that you're supposed to meet somebody at the church. You know, you meet in a singles group, meet at the fellowship, you know, you meet in person. But in 2002, which is when we met online at a dating site, and I found out about
it. Very modern.
Yes, I was trying to move into the 20th century, and I found out about really the ins and outs of it on a Focus on the Family show. I was on my way home from worship team practice and happened to catch that show, and he talked about online dating and interviewed couples who had met and married. It was a brilliant show.
Yeah, so before that, you were kind of anti-online dating because there were all kinds of horror stories, if I remember, early in the internet days.
Yes, there were. You still have to be careful now. You have to know who you are and know how to go about finding out who the other person is in the right way. But I was always told, being from the South, that you met face-to-face. You know, it was your neighbor's friend, or you met at church, mm-hmm. or you met on yeah. a singles group. I had never even...
And there's wisdom in that.
Yes.
Because
yes.
that way you know that the person is legitimate, whereas online there's always the potential that the person is completely lying and fake.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, I met Tony, and our story is brilliant because God was in it. But I introduced several of my friends to that same site that I was on, and I've got horror stories about because they just went about it the wrong way. So you have to be smart.
What is the wrong way and what is the right way, briefly?
Well, I believe it's if you include other people in your conversation, even if whether you're in another state or whether you're around the world, you can't just
You
talk.
Mean like their family members
yes,
or their pastor?
Family members, friends.
Family, friends.
Church. People who have known this person for years, you know.
Kind of like references.
Absolutely. I believe that that's a good way to, well, you're paving the way for a good relationship because you're yeah. meeting other people, not just.
Because anybody can lie, but their pastor isn't going to lie about them.
That's right.
Or their mother. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, true. The mother might. But if you've got a room full of people who are giving references, then you figure
right.
the percentages are good that the person's telling the truth. So,
right, right.
You know, you don't want to get online with somebody and then meet up with them the next day and say, oh, I know that
yeah.
person. They're
no.
this, they're that. You don't
That's
know
ridiculous.
Them. You know, so.
Yeah, and you do want to meet in a neutral spot.
Absolutely.
I've heard.
Absolutely.
Yep. And there's nothing wrong with meeting in a group either, you know. So.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But see, we met, on this particular site, you're allowed 250 words. Well, I wrote a page and a half. I was interested in turning them off as well as turning them on. And
explain that. What do you mean turning them off?
Oh, well, I outlined who I was and what I was about. And if they weren't serious about their faith and about, you know, all that sort of stuff, I wasn't really interested. And So you see, a lot of the profiles that I read, some of these women would say, oh, I'm a Proverbs 31 girl. But when you read the profile, you know, you think to yourself, no, not even close, lady. And because so I put in my profile that if you're going to tell me you're a Proverbs 31 girl, you better tell me you're a Song of Solomon's girl, because Proverbs 31 leaves a lot of stuff out about marriage. And I said, really? I said, it's just a list of potentiality in three mm-hmm. areas of a woman's life. And there's some people that think you can find all of that in one woman. I said, you'd need 9-day weeks and 36-hour days. Well, anyway, what happened was the first contact I get from Minna, who happened to be teaching a class on Proverbs 31 at the time.
Oh, so she would know her scripture.
Oh, let
there.
Me tell you, mate.
Thank you very much.
She sent me a message saying, you know, basically, you don't know what you're talking about, you know, and in a polite Southern way, you know. And I
this is starting really good.
Oh, yeah,
I don't know what you're talking about.
I wrote back. I said, you know, well, thanks for writing. You know, you're entitled to your wrong opinion. Have a nice life. And then she wrote back in a polite Southern way, sort of told me I was, you know, egotistical, you know, whatever. And I wrote back, I said, no, you've misunderstood. You've misinterpreted ego for confidence. I said, I know who I am. I know where I'm going. I know what I believe. And in terms of ego, I said, you've missed it. I said, my only statement of worth once trickled down a cross and touched the ground. So once again, thanks for writing. Have a nice life.
So you weren't interested, it sounds like.
Well, I was certainly not interested in getting into an argument about, you know, Bible stuff. I'm just not interested in that sort of gear. But, you know, and then she wrote back and said, oh, can we keep emailing? And I'm thinking, what for? I haven't got a persecution complex.
But see, Eric, what he didn't know.
Yes, Minna, please share your side of the story.
Well, what Tony didn't know was when he said, my only statement of worth once trickled down across and dropped on the ground, that's when I fell in love with him, right then. And I knew
that
God had called this man to be in my life and vice versa. So I said, man, I'm going to run with this. And I have never been afraid to share my opinion. There you go. I've just put it out there. So I wasn't afraid
to
share.
But I mean, that's a good start. You can be yourself.
That's right. And you need to be yourself.
Yep. Yep.
If there was something that he said that I didn't agree with, I always made sure that I let him know what my opinion was. And And he did the same. I think that's so important because you can't just be somebody's yes man. You can't just say everything they want you to say.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Because that's not even true life. That's
exactly. Well, I just had a friend recently who was kind of corresponding with somebody in another country, and they were about to meet the person in person.
Uh-huh.
And they said, "We are just made for each other. We never disagree about anything." And I'm thinking,
honey, that's
not
a red
sounding
flag.
Too good. Yep, exactly. Yep, yep.
Absolutely.
Okay, moving along in your relationship, where did it go from there?
Well, we talked for about almost a year. And then I finally went over in October of 2003, and we married 12 days later.
And see, when he made plans to come over.
12 days later?
Yes, sir. Mm.
After meeting?
Yes. Because you've got to include that year in our relationship. We had talked for a year. We had talked to each other's families. We'd included
all
these
people.
We
laid our cards out on the table. There's nothing we didn't talk about.
And we had mutual friends. We decided to meet in a place where we had mutual friends. Mm-hmm. I had a place to stay. He had a place to stay. We could meet. I knew it was going to work out. But see, he hadn't figured it out yet. So I had to give him room to figure it out. So
she says she fell in love. And I say I walked in really slow.
And that's the way it was. But when we met, I mean, I knew. And so you think, okay, where do we go from here? Well, I told him from the beginning when we were first talking.
So you were the one that was very quick.
Absolutely. I was the one that was very quick. He was very slow. But I told him, I'm looking for a husband. I'm not looking for a friend. I got plenty of friends. I'm not looking for somebody that I can just have a chat with. I've got plenty of those people around me. I'm looking for a husband. And I want a godly man. I want someone who wants.
You knew what you wanted.
Absolutely. And I think you have to know that. You can't just wander around and hope that you hit the right ball with your cue. You know,
In my profile, I think I said something along the lines of, you know, if you're looking for the white picket fence, I'm not interested. I'm looking for the Lone Ranger's girlfriend.
And that didn't scare men off.
No, sir. It did not.
No, she doesn't scare too easy.
Our guests today are Tony and Minna Gunter, Tony from Brisbane and Minna from South Carolina. We just found out how they met and married. We're going to take a break, and when we return, we'll find out more about their relationship and how God has given them a vision for ministering to truck drivers in the United States. That and more when we return right here on Real Faith.
Looking for resources to grow your faith? Check out Vision Christian Store with books, movies, audio CDs, DVD resources and more. Plus, free delivery on orders over $50. See visionstore.org.au.
You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back. I'm Eric Scatabo, and today our guests are Tony and Minna Gunter. Tony is from Brisbane, and Minna is from South Carolina, and we've been finding out about their relationship. Now we're going to find out more of their story and how they have a vision for ministering to truck drivers in the United States.
Well, we married the pastor. Our friends in Nashville happened to be pastors of a church that Tony was familiar with, because on those trips that he had made to the States before he knew me, he had met this pastor, and
I had a strong relationship with a church in Nashville.
Yeah, very strong relationship. Yep. So he's the one that married us. It was a Wednesday night. They had Wednesday night prayer meeting. Then we got married. Then they had worship team practice. Then we all went to the Longhorn for a steak.
Steakhouse.
Oh, you got me hungry here.
There was not a lot of formalities.
We both had blue jeans on, and I think I had cowboy boots, and it was just the way it was meant to be. It was just lovely. And then we came back to South Carolina, and my family got to know him a little bit better, because even though they had met him and they liked him when they met him, they didn't know much about him. And now, of course, we have two grandchildren. My son has two girls, and then Tony has three children here, and they all have kids, so we've got five grandchildren here, so now we're an international family.
Yeah. So, Tony, how did you finally come around?
Oh, I just, you know, went the distance, basically. We went, once we met, you know, we're face to face, it was pretty much what I'd expected. And, you know, there's been adjustments and stuff with, mm-hmm. like, with cultural differences, as I say. And, but basically, you know, we've got on pretty well. I remember the first, she was a nurse in the States. And I went and picked her up one night after we were married. And, we're driving home and she goes, "Stop, stop, stop, stop." And I hit the brakes. I said, "What?" She said, "Turn in here." I said, "It's a Ford dealership." She said, "Yeah." And it was that big. It had a road up the middle, you know. Mm-hmm. And the vehicles were displayed on this terraced block. And up the top were all the pickup trucks. And she said, "There's a new King Ranch up there." And I thought, "What's a King Ranch?" And it turns out it's a bit like R.M. Williams, you know. It's a old ranch in Texas, and they got this logo on it, and they have this King Ranch F-350 up there mm-hmm. with this particular paint job. And anyway, we get out there, and she starts walking around this F-350 pickup, and next thing she drops the tailgate, spreads her arm, spreads her arms across the tailgate and says, "I'm in love." And I'm thinking, thank you, Jesus. She loves guns, loves trucks. Oh, I'm in.
And loves Jesus.
Yeah, loves Jesus, absolutely, you know.
Oh, wow.
And
we were sold at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, moving along, let's talk about ministry. How did you get into ministry eventually?
Well, for me, it started January 1990. I'm at 9 months out the police force. I'm sitting in the office, just I'm doing a word study on motivation of the heart, and one of the references went back to Chronicles, David given Solomon the plans of the temple. And he talked about motivation of the heart, you know, God searches the heart. And he said, be careful, he said, "For I've chosen you to build a temple as a sanctuary." And as I read those words, it wasn't just like the words leaped off the page or anything like that. It was like God spoke those words to me. "For I've chosen you to build a temple as a sanctuary." And I had absolutely no idea what he was talking about. I wasn't a pastor. I wasn't thinking about being a pastor. I certainly wasn't thinking about building a church. No idea. And that encounter was followed by 10 years of silence. And each year I'd go back. I'd say, "Do you want to tell me now? Because I got no idea what you're talking about." And that went on for like 10 years. In 11 years, things started to unfold in my mind about ideas I had for a mobile ministry thing with a semi-trailer. And then I thought, well, maybe there's some Christian truck drivers out there might be interested. And it snowballed on from there. And over the next 10 years, it was like God just unfolded the vision. And God didn't say to Joseph, "I'm going to make you, you know, prime minister of Egypt." He gave him a dream about mm-hmm. fat cows, skinny cows, sheaves of wheat, you know. And who would ever have equated that to what he finally ended up as? Who would ever have equated what God spoke to me as, you know, building a major ministry to the road transport industry in America?
Well, let's back up before we get to your current dream. Now, you've been in ministry. You've been a pastor. You've been a chaplain.
I had... And back in the early 70s, I was a foundation member. Back in 71, I was a foundation member of God Squad.
Oh, okay. The motorcycle ministry?
Yeah. Yeah. After we got married, we spent 5 years in the States, and I was a chaplain with Transport for Christ as a volunteer mm-hmm. on a truck stop chapel before I got my green card.
Yeah, that's when we were still living in the States. I was still a nurse there. Mm-hmm. And he was involved in chaplain ministry there. But what I was going to say is, if I can back up for a moment
yep.
with Tony's story, after he left, when he was in the police force, and even after he left the police force, there were difficulties in the marriage then. And Tony is a bush poet, and I believe that God ministered to him through the bush poetry that he gave him in more ways than I think even Tony realizes. And his poetry has gone on. He recorded two albums, and his poetry has gone on to lead hundreds and hundreds of people to Christ, listening to his Christian perspective on things that happened to him during that period in his life. Mm-hmm. And Bushmen and Heroes was it's a full CD with, I don't know how many selections on it.
11.
And then the To the Sunburnt Ear is, of course, the tribute to the Australian soldier. That's the one that's played across the country at Anzac Day.
Mm-hmm.
They play that poetry and the thank you that comes before the poem. There's the thank you and then the To the Sunburnt Ear. And that was the thing that brought Tony together with the CEO at, the president at Currumbin RSL. That's how they got introduced to each other, because Ron had been playing that for years before he even met Tony.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So I believe that the ministry portion of Tony's life involved not just, you know, his early years of the God Squad and all that, but I think that poetry really is key. And
it opened doors for us.
Oh, absolutely.
And
I think that was part of a transitioning that God was using to go forward into the time when he brought your attention to Chronicles and then from there. And that's just what I know from knowing Tony, because, of course, I wasn't in the picture then.
Yeah. So, Tony, you're part of a dawn service, which is televised nationally every year for Anzac Day?
Yeah, Currumbin RSL. Channel 7 broadcast it every year.
So many of our listeners could have heard you on that nationally televised telecast.
Yeah, it's my 5 minutes of fame every year.
It's a real honor to be involved there. There's just lovely people there.
For me, it's the best dawn service in Australia because it has so much heart to it.
Yeah,
and that's the result of the input of Ron Workman, who's the chairman of the board there.
Yeah,
and the numbers have increased.
Yeah, it's now listed as one of Queensland's major events.
Well, we have to wrap up our conversation, but let's end with your current vision that you're passionate about now.
Well, we have a ministry called Faith Freighters. It's a ministry to long-distance truck drivers. And our big vision for that is to build a thing called the Fifth Wheel Worship Center. And it will be a trucker's church. It will be a full-service 24/7 truck stop. God willing, and the creek don't rise, it'll be built just outside Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, wow.
And, it's a huge undertaking, and it's one of those things where you just got to say, well, okay, you know, I've had a number of father and son arguments about it over the years with God. And I remember one particular day, I used to complain about the size of the vision, the insignificant size of the visionary. And he spoke to me one day as clear as a bell about when I birthed the vision heart of Nehemiah to rebuild the wall. He wasn't even a free man.
Mm.
He was a test pilot. He was a cupbearer. He was a test pilot for bad booze. And, but you'll find favor with a king. And so, you know, we've gone on and just hung. I tried a number of times to get it up and running. And it didn't work, so I said to God, I'll tell you what, when you're ready, you let me know. Well, it was only just over 3 months ago that happened, and now things are starting to move so fast, and we think we'll be back in the U.S. Chasing this dream before the end of the year.
Wow. Things are happening for you.
Yes, they are.
Yes, sir, they are. They are happening, and it's... Yeah, it's just come about in such a way, you know, that sort of took us by surprise.
Well, it's almost like we come to this intersection because we've been up and down the road to every place you can imagine, talking to everybody that will listen. So we've talked to everybody, nothing's happened. And it's like we've come to this intersection and God is standing right in the middle of the intersection directing the traffic, saying, okay, now, this is the direction you go. This is the people you see. And when we turn and do that, it has become very fruitful. So we'll be incorporated as a Christian entity within a month. We'll be listed as a church in Tennessee. So it's starting to happen. It's starting to grow legs and arms. And, you know, it's pretty exciting once it gets going because it's God's momentum.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing, well, how you met, your backstories, but now the exciting things that you're doing now. Thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you for having us. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Our guests today have been Tony and Minna Gunter, and they're just about to launch into a wonderful adventure.
You've been listening to Real Faith, and if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au.
This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.